Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
Amen. First of all, I want to tell you I love you. And as the mom of the house, I just felt like this is a really important message to share. So just know in my heart, it's coming from a heart of love. And so I want to share this morning on how to develop a biblical worldview. Now, the question is, what is a worldview? Well, a worldview is a grid, it's a paradigm, it's a model, it's a framework for how you interpret life, right? And you evaluate truth through that, and you make decisions based on it. It's actually the lens which you see life through. You know, if I were to put on some glasses right now, you know, I would see everything through the lens. I like polarized glasses because they get, you know, they filter the glare. And when you have a biblical worldview, you see life through that lens. Now, my question this morning is, do you have a biblical worldview? And that's a great question to ask yourself, because just because you're in church doesn't necessarily mean you have a biblical worldview. And so I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. You see, George Barna, he's America's leading pollster in matters of religion and morality, and he is a Christian. And he reports that only 7% of all Protestants, and that's what we are, we're Protestants, we're not Catholics, have a biblical worldview. Only 7%. Now, that was shocking to me. But the most distressing statistic is that even in churches where the pastors have biblical worldviews, now, you want your pastor to have a biblical worldview, don't you? Is that important to you? I think it is. I have one. I know Pastor Daniel does, and our team has biblical worldviews. You wouldn't want to go to a church that didn't believe the Bible. That would be like nonsense, right? Okay, so, but in a church where you have a pastor who has a biblical worldview, only 1 out of 7 church members have a biblical worldview. Wow, that was shocking to me, as I said. So this morning I thought, well, let that not be said of Summit. You know, I would like to say that at Summit, instead of 1 out of 7, I would like to say it's 97% of us have a biblical worldview. How many of you want to have a biblical worldview? Oh, I love what I'm seeing. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, that's what I thought. I'm in the right place. Excellent. Okay, so if you have a biblical worldview, you have to develop biblical convictions, meaning based on the Bible. Now, because of that, what I just shared, that relatively few Americans, and believe me, it has changed over time. We used to be a nation that was much, much more biblical in our worldview, but even among the devout religious people, it suggests that a large share of the nation's moral and spiritual challenges that we face in this nation, and we face them, is directly attributed to the absence of a biblical worldview. So you can see how important that is to have that. And if your worldview is influenced by the philosophies of this world, it's gonna change the way you think. It says in Colossians 2:8, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceitful philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ." How many of you want your mindset to be that of the mindset of Christ? Let me see. Excellent. Great. Well, there's a verse in Romans 12:1-2, which is so key to this. And it goes like this: "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, that you offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your true and proper worship." And verse 2 is the one I'm going to key in on. "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. I have heard so many Christians that have said and expressed, I just want to know God's will. I just want to do God's will. And I love that attitude. Well, the best way for that to happen and to be accomplished in your life is for you to renew your mind according to the Word of God. And I believe it's going to be a byproduct in your life that you're going to do the will of God. Now, our viewpoint is determined by our thought life, right? How you view it's what's in your thought life. So to have a worldview means we need to think and view reality from God's perspective. I love the verse in Isaiah. It says, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. If we just base life on our human perspective, we won't see it from God's divine perspective. So our measurement of truth, how we determine what truth is the Bible. This is the measuring stick or the measuring line, or sometimes when a builder's building something, if they want to make sure they get it straight, they use a plumb line, right? Well, the Bible is the plumb line for our life, that we align with it. And you know what? I heard something recently that I have to say kind of disturbed me. And I was listening to someone, a legislator, and they were saying something to the effect of Christians just need to evolve in their thinking. In other words, you need to get away from the way the Bible sees it and evolve to the way the world sees it. And that's just the opposite of what God says. That is directly the opposite, that we're not supposed to evolve. We have an eternal Word of God that stands forever. His counsel doesn't change. And this is what we align ourselves with, right? We got to get this in our head. John 8:31-32 says this, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. There's a freedom that comes from believing God's word, and it is our measuring stick. Now, in order to have that biblical worldview, it doesn't come from worldly wisdom. Now, I understand we live in this world, but we're not of this world. I was educated in this world, for heaven's sakes. I went through 12 years of public high school. I went to a public junior college. I went to a public university. I got my master's degree from a public university. So I understand. I've been educated in the world. But you need to retrain in some ways yourself to be educated in the Word of God. Because not everything you learn is necessarily biblical. It could come from a worldly wisdom standpoint. So when the Bible talks about renewing our minds, we have a battle. And the battlefield is your mind. You know, your thought life. And it's an essential tool to bring the reality of God to the problems and crises people face. Do you believe that? Do you actually believe that? Am I talking to Bible-believing Christians? Are there believers in here? Okay. I do believe that. And you know, though, to be used in the kingdom of God, our minds have to be transformed. And you know what? We have a clue of what that means when we look at some of the scriptures. Now, it's so interesting. If you have, I'm sure, read the story about the Mount of Transfiguration. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus appeared with his three disciples and also Moses and Elisha. Well, the amazing thing happened, and then God overshadowed it. And Jesus became brilliant and glistening. His skin was literally glowing with the glory of God. It was like Moses, who went 8 times up the mountain. And you know what? He literally had to put a veil on his face. He was so glowing with the glory of God that people couldn't even look at his face. Talk about glory, right? And that's what happened to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. But do you know that word transfiguration is the same as transformation? Wow! Think about that. God wants to transform your mind, make it glistening and brilliant with the reality of God. I like that. That's amazing. You know, that word transformed actually means metamorpho. And I know you've heard this said before. It comes from like the word metamorphosis, right? So, you know, in nature we see this, we learn about this. We see a caterpillar going through metamorpho, it becomes a butterfly. And a tadpole goes through metamorpho, it becomes a frog, right? Well, what happens when a Christian goes through metamorpho? What do you become? Yes, you do become awesome and brilliant. You become like Christ, right? That's the transformation process. We become more and more into his glory. We're transformed. And that's what the Bible says. So your transformation is a Christ-like transformation. And it says this in 2 Corinthians 3:14 through 18. It says, now the Lord is a spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory to glory. And it keeps going. It doesn't stop. Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now think about this for a second. Moses had to put a veil on his face, right? So that people couldn't see him because it was so glorious. But we, with unveiled faces, behold the Lord. How much more of a greater glory? And our glory doesn't fade like Moses' glory did, right? That transformation process. So beautiful. So a renewed mind then reflects the reality of another world. The same way that Jesus shone in heavenly brilliance and beauty. And it's the same with us. Our thinking, as it's transformed, brings a different reality to earth, and it comes from heaven. So the renewed mind enables you to co-labor with Christ and also to see the will of God accomplished in your life. The unrenewed mind brings a totally different manifestation, totally different, right? It's only the renewed mind that can consistently bring heaven to earth, right? And see it in reality. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says this, for who has the mind of the Lord that he can instruct him? But I love what the scripture says, but we have the mind of Christ. Can you say that with me? But we have the mind of Christ. Put your hand on your head and say this. But we have the mind of Christ. God wants you to think like God thinks. You know, the unrenewed mind is at enmity with Christ. What does enmity mean? It's at war with Christ. Its thoughts conflict with the mind of Christ. So you can see how important it is to renew our mind. And let me just say one thing. It's not a one-time deal. It's a continual, lifelong process of reading the word, applying the word. It's a continual thing. It's not like, oh, I read the Bible once, I'm done. No. It's a continual sanctification process. When we come into agreement with the truth of God's word, our minds become powerful in the hands of God. And that explains why there's such intensive warfare being waged for your mind and your mental agreement. I like what Jeremy Nelson says, what you agree with, you empower. What you come into agreement, you're going to empower. So every thought and action in your life either is going to speak allegiance to God or to Satan. Wow. So both are empowered by your agreement. So when you renew your mind, right, by the Lord, you're going to be able to recognize what thoughts are coming from hell, what is coming from heaven, and then agreeing with heaven. How many of you want to see God's kingdom come, his will be done in your life, not the devil's will? You don't want that. I can tell you his job description is John 10:10. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. If you follow him, you're going to end up messed up. That's just saying it nicely, because he's a robber, a thief, a liar, and he's out to destroy you, accuse you, and definitely not for you to see the will of God happen in your life. So you want to follow the Lord. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this, We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing that's raised up above the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. Do you know what that means? Don't let your mind wander, right? If you have a thought, and it could come from the devil or the world or whatever, but it's not of God, then cast it down. Don't dwell on it. Don't keep giving yourself and feeding that thought. Guess what? If you continue to do that, you are going to create a mental stronghold in your mind. You don't want to do that. You want to take, you know, someone said, you can't help that a bird flies over you, but don't let it build a nest on your head, right? The point being is, yeah, a random thought, a thought from the pit of hell could come your way because the enemy's out to tempt us, right? And he throws fiery darts. But don't accept it, reject it, right? And bring it to the obedience of Christ. I mean, the best example I can see is Jesus Christ himself. He did this. When the devil came to accuse him in the temptation in the desert, he would accuse, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be turned into bread. Well, the very first lie there is, of course he was the Son of God. That was not a question. But he was even making him question his sonship. So what did Jesus do? He came back at the lie with the truth. And you need to do the same thing. He used the word. The word was his weapon, was his sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He used it. He didn't just let those accusations lie and take hold and build a stronghold in his mind. No, he cast them down. We have to do the same thing. We have to be vigilant about this. You can't be lazy on that, okay? So the only way that you'll complete your divine assignment is for let the Lord use you is to sanctify and yield your mind to the Holy Spirit. Now, let me tell you, a sanctified mind yielded to the Holy Spirit is going to do some amazing things. Number one, you're going to see his creativity, his ideas, his designs, and his plans. I see Brittany's here. Brittany is amazing. She has a bakery, but when she bakes, she does it to the glory of God. And every single thing she bakes and creates, she gets divine ideas from heaven. She asks the Lord, even on recipes, she invents things and stuff like that. But where does all those creativity come from? It comes from God. She recognizes her source and she brings it into her sphere of influence. And we can do that in any area of our life. I remember even when I was a school teacher, you have a classroom of kindergartners, and you need classroom management skills, right? And otherwise, they're going to run you ragged and walk all over you, and nothing's going to get accomplished. So I remember praying, God, please give me wisdom, how to manage these little, 30 amazing little children with tons of energy, right? And he would literally give me God ideas on how to create a discipline plan that worked. And the kids loved it. And it was just amazing. Like, wow, this was win-win. You know, they followed the plan. I had classroom control and everybody was happy. It was amazing. But you know what? I totally attribute that idea to God. He was the one that just dropped it in my head of what to do. So I'm saying, whatever your job is, whatever your sphere of influence, ask him. He's going to give you wisdom. Now, John, where I kind of got off the track there. Okay, John 17:17 talks about the word. It says, I love this, this is a great verse. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Can you say that with me? Your word is truth. It's so important that you just establish that fact. I remember when Jesus appeared before Pilate, and he talked about truth, and Pilate says, what is truth? You see, Pilate was clueless about what truth was. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. And Jesus is the Word of God made flesh, and the Bible is a book of truth. So renewing our mind, if we want to do that, it begins with repentance. And, Pastor Daniel said this before, repentance is not a bad word. It's a good word. It literally provides a gateway to return to that original assignment on earth. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, what did he mean by that? Repent means go back to God's perspective on reality. Don't think your own thoughts. Repent. And you know what? When you do that, when you go to his perspective, there's a renewal, there's a reformation that affects our intellect, our emotions, and really every part of our lives. So without repentance, then we just get locked into carnal ways of thinking, just worldly ways of thinking. And the Bible speaks of that type of thinking as carnality, unspiritual, earthly, and worldly wisdom. James 3:15 says this, such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. So we don't want to have, actually, almost by default, can I say, if you don't renew your mind through the Word of God, then you're naturally going to think those thoughts by default. Because, you know, until you come to Christ and, you know, repent and make him Lord and Savior. So it's so important that we get the wisdom that flows from heaven and see reality from God's perspective. You know, a renewed mind destroys the works of the devil. And there's and so that our earthly reality matches heavenly reality. Now, God doesn't want you just to see the will of God in only words, but he really wants to see it in power and demonstration too. Even like this morning, because the Word of God, it heals the sick, it frees those who are enslaved, it brings joy where there is sadness, it brings strength where there's weakness, right? And explosive creativity. God wants to give you that as well. World-changing ideas. Some of the greatest ideas that have ever happened, many of the inventors, many of the scientists, many times they were believers, and the ideas literally came from heaven. God gave a download. It's so amazing. So Jesus wants you to see reality from God's perspective, to live this world from into the visible world. But if you don't change the way you think, you're never going to see that kingdom power that's available. So the renewed mind is going to see it the way God sees it. It's going to receive impressions and become that creative force. And you know what? When we see that, you'll see God's kingdom established here. You know? Now, it says that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. You know, before you came to Christ, when you were unsaved and unregenerated, it affected the way you saw life. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. You know, without Christ, Christianity seems like complete foolishness. But with Christ, you say, wow, that's the wisdom of God. Whatever topic, and there's so many topics, and there's a lot of controversy in this world right now. God doesn't want us to be argumentative. Really, right there, you just lose the argument when you get into arguments like that. You know what I'm saying? God wants you to be biblical. That's what he wants. He wants to be scriptural. And so there's so many topics out there, and people are just have such conflicting ideas about it. But let me tell you, the most important thing is, what does God say about it? It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what the media thinks. It matters what God thinks, right? Is that right? Am I in the right place? Yeah, okay. It matters what God thinks because the Bible has answers for every issue in life. And there's so many things that, you know, with the biblical worldview. You know, and I'm not trying to be controversial, but these are subjects that are out there in the media, you know, such as abortion. Were we made in the image of God? Is there life at conception, or is it a non-person? Gender issues. Did God create male and female, or do we get to choose? Evangelism and missions. Are all religions the same? Do all roads lead to heaven? Well, if that was the case, then honestly, why do we do mission trips? Because they're okay. It doesn't matter. How about LGBT relationships. What does the Bible say about that subject? Because the Bible speaks about that subject. How about drugs and drunkenness versus sobriety? The Bible has something to say on that as well. How about racism? The Bible speaks a lot about this. Love one another. Love your enemies. What about the whole parable of the Good Samaritan was hitting the issue of racism? What did Jesus say? We need to learn from his example. We need to have a biblical mindset when it comes to these hot topics so that we're not just talking carnally or worldly. We're talking, what would God say? What would Jesus say about this? So it's so important that on any subject that we agree with the scriptures, that the authority of the Word of God is our authority. And we align to it. We don't make it align to us. Right? We don't evolve in our thinking. No, we transform in our thinking. And I like what someone said. It says, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. You know what? When you take that approach, honestly, life is easy. You know, what do I think? I don't know. What does the Bible say? That's what I think. I don't even have to come up with my own opinion because God has shown me, and I try to transform my mind to think biblically. But if we think there is a flaw in the Word of God, we need to correct our thinking. We need to correct our thinking then, because the Word of God is flawless. The flaw is not on God's part. It's an error in our thinking. It's on our side, not his side. I like what Bill Johnson said. Bill Johnson said, any error in the Bible is not greater than the error that's in you. Do you get that? So we align with what the Word of God says. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says this, every word of God is flawless. He's a shield to those who take refuge in him. So, you know what? Whether we have a incorrect translation, a faulty interpretation, the error is not on the part of God. And we just need to seek to adopt biblical thinking and examine ourselves in light of biblical truths. So when we renew our mind, I'm going to give you some steps to do that. We put off concerning the former conduct. That's what it says in Ephesians 22, 24. And it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Your mind, you can renew the spirit of your mind. And that word renew means restore, renovate, and renew. So we want to transform the thinking. It's amazing the power of God that can be unleashed through a person when their mind is renewed in submission to the Spirit of God, right? It's that renewed mind that walks in new behaviors and new thought patterns. Now, people are triune, their body, soul, and spirit. And God commanded the spirit to be in charge, to rule over the soul, the mind, will, and emotions. But when sin came into this world, instead of the spirit being in charge, the soul and the body took control over people. And even now, we have to give expression to the spirit. We need to say, spirit man, you're in charge. Mind, come under submission to the Spirit of God. You have to tell yourself, spirit, come forth, and mind, you're under submission to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God. And so that's important because the mind was meant to serve you, but not to be your taskmaster, right? And the battleground for all Christians is the mind, and it's bringing your thoughts under subjection to the Spirit of God. So when your mind is renewed, you come under the dominion of the Spirit of God, and that's what God wants for you. Now, guidelines to renew your mind. Number one, identify specific patterns of thinking that's not based on the Word of God or that's causing a resistance for you to walk in the Spirit. Identify thoughts. Okay, that's contrary to the Word of God. Okay, that's the first thing. Then the Bible says, Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints of marrow, the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So when you identify those thoughts, you use the Word of God, just like Jesus did on those thoughts. And every person, there's not a person in here that in some way has not had lies or wrong beliefs in your mind. I mean, like I said, I think by default, being, you know, before you come to salvation, that's just your mindset. It's your thought pattern. So we have to learn how to lay it aside, though, when we come to Christ. And a lie can seem to appear so true based on life experiences or society norms or values or peer pressure. It can seem so true, but absolutely false when you compare it to the Word of God. That's why I said it's so, so important. We need to read the Word of God. I've talked to so many people. Read through the Bible, cover to cover. Don't skip, you know, don't, oh, I'm not going to do the Old Testament. Are you kidding me? There's such good nuggets of wisdom in the Old Testament. It's fantastic. I love Proverbs. My word, there's so many rich nuggets and great things in the Word of God. Read it cover to cover. And renew your mind from that. Next, confess and ask forgiveness for any lie or false belief that's caused you to believe something other than God's word. And that's just what we said before, repent. Repent means change the way you think. You might have been going this way, thinking it was this way, then you read the word of God, wow, well, I'm going to do an about face. I'm going to go this direction because that's what God says, right? And that's how you do it, you know, step by step. Psalm 119, verse 160 says this, "The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." Wow, I love that. So the entirety of God's word is truth. We need to choose to renew our minds and set our minds on the things of the Holy Spirit. It is not automatic, in other words. You have to make a choice. I'm going to renew my mind. I'm going to really go after a biblical worldview and mindset. Because if you don't, you know, like I said, Romans 5, 8 through 6 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." You know, if you want to have real peace in your mind, be spiritually minded. It will bring peace. And as a born-again Christian, we're commanded in God's Word, number one, to love God with all our mind. Give your mind to God. Let him think his thoughts. We're also commanded to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Number three, we're to set our mind on things above, heavenly things, and think about things that are pure, honest, just, lovely, and of good report. Right? Philippians 4:8. Think on these things. That's what you can exercise your mind towards. And any time that you discover, you find, oh, wow, I have a lie or a false belief in that area, then do this. Find the truth that's in God's word and then apply it to the situation, right? And you're going to, you know, take the scriptures. 2 Timothy 2:15 says this, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You know, anytime you have a problem in any area, whether it's biblical worldview or not, let's just say you're having a problem with lust, then you find a scripture that deals with that subject and you fight the good fight of faith using the word of God against that. And God is going to help you in that area. Psalm 19, verse 7 says this, "The law of God is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple, converting and turning back and delivering and restoring." That's what the word of God will do in your life. I had so much messed up thinking in my mind before I came to Christ. As I shared before, I was suicidal. I had thoughts of depression. I was, like I said, I was brought up in public school, so I was completely trained in evolution and all that stuff. So when I read the word of God, I started a transformation process. Of instead of thinking how I thought, I started realizing and realizing my identity was what God said, right? And that was started the transformation, sanctification process of the mind. So we need to do that. Number five, apply and confess God's word. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Don't just read it and walk away from it. The Bible says, do it, right? If you know the right thing to do, if you don't do it, it's sin. So take what you read, apply it to your life, and live by it. Number six, meditate on God's word. Joshua 1:8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night to observe to do according to all that is written. Then you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. There's something about thinking and meditating on God's word that's going to bring a blessing to your life. And last, let the truth of God's word move from your spirit to your mind, right? As you read the word of God, it's just going in, it's just bringing life, but let it transform the thinking of your mind. Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, the word of God. When you receive it, it's going to transform you. And as a believer, when you receive the truth of God's word, it's going to result in a change in your soul. And you will possess a real, true biblical mindset. Amen? Amen in a worldview. Would you stand this morning, please? Father God, I just pray your blessing over everyone in this body today. I thank you, God, that they are believing believers. And Father, I pray for a transformational mindset, God. I pray that they would be both salt and light in this world. I pray that you would give them the mind of Christ, that they would have divine creativity and wisdom that flows from heaven. I thank you for divine strategies in their life, in their family, in their work, Father God, that they're going to be blessed with the blessings of heaven. I thank you, Father God, that every lie that they've been believing, you're going to cast it down, Father. You're going to replace it with truth and wisdom that flows from heaven. And thank you, Father God, for that spiritual, biblical mindset, God, that they are world changers, that they're difference makers, God, that they're the salt in this world. I thank you, Father God, for using them every place that their feet go, Father God, in the schools, in the workplace, in every environment. They're shifting the atmosphere because they're bringing a biblical mindset to that place. Bless them with your peace and with your love and with your joy. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.